Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It all starts right here, right now, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good morning to you, baseball people. It's Inside the Clubhouse on a Saturday morning right here on 670 The Score. I am indeed Matt Spiegel, back and here on Saturdays in perpetuity, along with Bruce Levine. Bruce, good morning. Action-packed show, a news-packed morning suddenly for both the locals and for some national baseball trends, sir.
Yeah, it's a huge day in Chicago here, Matt. By the way, welcome back to the show that you normally are on. We missed you over the past weeks, and so I'm sure you're going to be here for the duration of the baseball season, at the very least. We are expecting the Chicago White Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals to play pretty much a historic game for this year, with the Cardinals having not played for 20 days, and the fact that, indeed, they had all the positive tests from both their staff and from players. Only played five games so far after 3 weeks of the baseball season. That's coming up with a twin bill at Guaranteed Rate today. The Cubs continue their trek against the Milwaukee Brewers over this weekend, a game that you'll hear live on the Score, with a pregame starting at 1:20 with Zach Zaidman. And, of course, the latest news in Cincinnati that a positive test has occurred among the players. And we will be going out to our good friend Bobby Nightingale, beat reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer, in just a minute or two to discuss what the latest is there with the Reds.
Yeah, lots going on. And I'm looking forward to that conversation. We'll figure out nationally what's going to happen with MLB. As you mentioned, a seven-inning doubleheader for the Sox and the Cardinals today. It'll be Lucas Giolito in game one, a bullpen game in game two for the White Sox. We'll talk more about that in an hour. And the Cubs game moved up because of a weather advisory. And it's kind of a nice benefit of having no fans, is you don't have to worry about the ticket takers, the ticket holders, a day in advance.
Yep.
And so the Cubs lose a game last night, which we should, of course, pick apart and go crazy about because, boy, they stink. Oh, wait a minute. They're 13-4, five games up right in that National League Central. But the national trend of what a Reds positive test might mean, and can the Cardinals get all these games in? After their schedule news yesterday, Bruce, they had, what, five additional doubleheaders, or is it six additional doubleheaders now rescheduled as they try to figure out a way to get 55 games in the rest of the way?
Matt, let's go out to Cincinnati. Line, set us up, please.
This is our next guest joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. To Cincinnati we go.
Bobby Nightingale in the Cincinnati Inquirer. You can follow him at bnightingale@inquirer.com. Joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Bobby. Thanks for taking some time out today. Hopefully not a lot of big, bad news coming out of Cincinnati. What is the latest you've heard about the one positive test that is being reported out of the Cincinnati clubhouse?
Yeah, it came out last night after the game. So the Reds won 8-1, and then it was kind of subdued celebration afterwards, and we couldn't really figure out why. And a few hours after that, you know, Ken Rosenthal reports first that a player tested positive. So that's kind of the first thing. And then they started contact tracing, obviously, and figuring that thing out. And then this morning, I'm pretty sure most likely tonight's game will be postponed between Reds and Pirates, and then we'll see what happens tomorrow. But you at least buy yourself at least an extra day by postponing today.
Hey, Bobby, as far as you can tell, does this have nothing to do with the fact that Moustakas and Nick Senzel had self-reported some symptoms and spent some days on the injured list? That's a while back already anyway.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago. Those guys both tested negative six times to get cleared to play, and they won an appeal. Matt Davidson also, he had a false positive test almost after the first day of the season. So I think the second day of the season, he went on the injured list. But he reported symptoms himself and had an expedited test that gave him a false positive, so it took him 6 days to come back. But this is the first time they've had an actual positive test from a league test since the season started.
Now, Bobby, again, we're talking to Bobby Nightingale of the Cincinnati Inquirer. You can follow Bobby at bnightingale@inquirer.com. And, Bobby, at the end of the Reds game yesterday, after they began to celebrate the 8-1 victory over the Pirates, Nick Senzel separated himself from the team, looked agitated, according to reports. And now, do you think there's any type of connection between Senzel separating himself and looking upset to the possible chance that he knows something, or is there something with him that's related to this story coming out?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's 100%, but it would make sense based off what we saw, just because, you know, they win the game, they're about to do the handshake line, and then a coach pulls Senzel aside, and they walk off together, and the rest of the players, they had confused looks on their face the entire time afterwards, just because he got pulled aside himself. And then by the time he got close to the dugout, you could tell Senzel was upset. He threw his glove on top of the dugout before he walked in. And then, you know, it wasn't like anyone just grabbed the glove either. They waited till a clubhouse attendant came, and he picked it up with a towel. So it wasn't even like anyone themselves picked up the glove off the top of the dugout. So I could see where it certainly makes sense if that's the case, but I don't have 100% word that it would be him that tested positive. Definitely could be somebody else.
Hey Bobby, as far as you know, and not asking you to snitch, but, you know, have any guys been to a casino, or have any guys gone out and had some nightlife? I mean, what's been the sense of following the protocols among the players? We live in a world now where Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger have been sent down essentially to the minors, to the minor, to the minor affiliate essentially for Cleveland, where guys are getting called out for doing this stuff. Have the Reds been agreeable and doing the right thing as an organization?
Yeah, I mean, from everything we've heard, I mean, it seems like they've all been above board. Now, one thing that they are probably, I'm sure they already checked into it by now, is their last series before they came back to Cincinnati was in Milwaukee, and that's where the Cardinals were. They were the first team to use the same hotel as the Cardinals, who were kind of holed up there for a few days while they had to kind of isolate by themselves. Now, obviously, they probably didn't share the same rooms or anything, and I was told they had a different, like a common area where the team has their meals and all that type of thing at the hotel. The Cardinals had the top floor. The Reds had a different spot in the hotel for their own common area, but I'm sure that's something they're looking into, saying, you know, it's not a good sign that they shared the same hotel and then, you know, all of a sudden a player tests positive a few days later.
Bobby, we appreciate your time. Thanks for your friendship as always. People can follow you on Twitter at bnightingale@inquirer.com. Thanks again for joining Matt and I on Inside the Clubhouse today, and we'll be talking to you soon. Take care.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Bobby Nightingale, the Cincinnati Inquirer, giving us the latest on what's going on, Matt. And, you know, the fascinating part is Senzel separated from the team at the end, not allowed to be able to be close to them when they celebrated their victory. So pretty curious stuff, especially after the report by Ken Rosenthal that there's at least one positive test there. And as Bobby Nightingale just told us, a good chance that game will be canceled today so they can do some testing.
It's been awkward. It's been uncomfortable, but it has steamrolled forward. And with these announcements yesterday, with the Cardinals rescheduling and the fact that they're about to play again for the first time in 20 days, and the seeming preparations for a postseason in a bubble, Bruce, I remain convinced myself that the owners and Rob Manfred are going to do everything they can possibly do to get that postseason in, and with it, all of the excitement and the replenished income from an existing postseason. Do you think even another team breakout would be something that they would just steamroll through? It's awkward if it's the same division as the Cardinals. Then you've got a real problem in that sense.
Well, you know, if you saw the numbers yesterday that came out on Major League Baseball, it's less than 3% that have tested positive. And besides the two from last week with the Cardinals, there has been nothing. So this has been isolated basically in two teams, Matt. And I don't think they're going to shut it down for that. Now, if there's a big outbreak with the Reds, you know, all bets are off. You know, if you think the Reds are going to have to quarantine and miss extended period of time, then you don't know. But I don't think Major League Baseball would ever put revenue and money ahead of people's health and jeopardy of outbreaks among numerous teams. I think that there would be a pause. There would be a pause if the Reds break out and they can't play. I think that would be very close to putting the kibosh on baseball in 2020.
I mentioned Plesac and Clevinger, and it's a situation where teammates are very upset with them, and former teammates have been given an opportunity to speak about it. One of those former teammates is the Cubs second baseman Jason Kipnis, and we'll talk plenty of Cubs and plenty of White Sox with their roster moves this morning. If you haven't heard, we'll talk about that for sure here during Inside the Clubhouse. But let's stay on this issue, I think, Bruce, and with Zach Plesac and Mike Clevinger doing what they did and now being sent down here to Lake County. Yesterday, Jason Kipnis was asked about his former teammates and about how his Indians teammates now, the current ones who are still on the big league roster, are feeling about it. Here's Jason Kipnis of the Cubs talking about Clevinger and Plesac.
Saw what went on in Cleveland today when they optioned out the two guys that violated the protocols. I just wondered from your perspective, being from that organization for so long, whether it surprised you the way that that organization responded to that.
You asked me the first question when I returned in Cleveland, didn't you? You're on this one, Gordon.
I asked the yes.
You're stuck on this topic, apparently.
But there's news today, though.
There is news today, and I'd like to keep that news in the Indians organization. I'm on both sides of that ball because I've been teammates with all of them. I'm friends with Plesac and Clev. I'm friends with the rest of the team that they kind of hurt in a way. You never want to see someone's kind of career be taken from them in the sense of where they're not allowed to pitch, but at the same time, they kind of put themselves in this position. So, listen, I hope they learn their lesson. I hope they prove to the teammates that they've learned their lesson and get back to being on the mound, because those are two of the better pitchers in the AL. Even they're good guys. I know they're getting a bad rap right now. They mean well. They've just made some mistakes, and I think they're paying for it right now. And it's when you screw up, and sometimes you got to answer that bell.
Hey, Bruce, Zach Plesac had put out a 6-minute, pseudo apology video of him driving around with his eyes all over the place, one hand on the steering wheel, talking about it and blaming the media for vilifying he and Mike Clevinger. Horrendously ill-advised to do so. That video has since been deleted. And Terry Francona said, quote, "I was disappointed in the video." And it's, these guys, at least Zach Plesac, I don't think, has realized the gravity of the situation and how they let down their teammates. And then Mike Clevinger lying to the teammates for a day. It's brutal stuff.
Well, I think he realizes it now because they've both been demoted, sent to their satellite you know, coordinate wherever they're playing at, you know, right now. So they're out for right now, and that's a sacrifice that the front office, I applaud the ownership, I applaud the other players on that team, I applaud, because these are two of the better pitchers, not only on the Cleveland Indians, but in the American League. So they are all in support of the fact that these guys do not deserve to be with the major league team right now for the jeopardy they put their team in, and the lack of thought when it comes to just, you know, the human contact that they're having and knowing what is at stake here. So again, I can't tell you how impressed I am with the Indians and the organization and the teammates for supporting this and saying, you know what, the lesson has to be taught here. And even if it costs us on the field, these guys do not deserve to be with the team right now.
Yeah, it's a very, very good starting pitching staff for Cleveland that is now greatly damaged by sending those two guys down. And it's a shame that it had to go that far to get the message across. Zach Plesac's uncle is Dan Plesac of MLB Network, a frequent guest with McNeil and Parkins on The Score. And he was on yesterday and was asked about his nephew. Here's Dan Plesac from The Score yesterday.
And my nephew and Mike Clevenger are two of the other 2,998 that have done it the right way. Then it doesn't excuse his behavior. He should know better. He's 25. He's not 15. And the young people of today, they're far more equipped, Dan, than either of you two, Dan, and I were at this stage. With social media, with Facebook, with Instagram, with Twitter, they come up to the big leagues. Their seasons, they've played in showcase games. They're out there when they're in high school. They're out there in college. Their sports is on 24/7. And my advice would have been, Dan, to take your medicine. And I listen, Zach did what he did, and he's going to have to own up to it and deal with what he's put out there. That's the only thing I could say. Disappointed, of course, in an industry right now that so many people are trying so hard to keep it going, that this can't happen, Dan. It just can't happen.
They like to play the Dan game when Dan Plesac is on, referring to Danny Parkins, Dan Plesac, Dan McNeil, lots of them in there. But good for Dan Plesac. Must be hard to talk about your nephew like that, but the truth is the truth, Bruce LeVar.
It didn't sound hard. It just sounded like a very responsible response from our good friend Dan Plesac, who gave it straight out. And you know, again, you could hear the passion and the disappointment in his voice when he was speaking from the heart to both of our Dans about the reality of the situation. And again, is this a situation? Because, look, by all indication, Clevenger and Plesac are really good kids. Okay, and I'll underline kids, all right, even though they're grown men playing baseball. Is this, do you think, something that's about the demographic or just a personally emboldened idea from these two players?
Oh, I think it's about a feeling of invincibility that a healthy athlete in their physical prime feels. And it's societal, as we have seen as a nation, some people willing to literally take one for the team and some people thinking that they can get away with it. That's the thing. They let their teammates down and their teammates are angry. Adam Plutko, who's had to start a couple of games and will have to start some more in replacement for these guys, talked about it yesterday to Bob Nightingale from USA Today, quote, "They hurt us bad. They lied to us. They sat here in front of you guys and publicly said things that they didn't follow through on." And I would be so angry at a teammate if they did that, especially Clevenger, who I've always liked and heard good things about. But he lied to them in a team meeting and said he wasn't with them and then flew back on the team plane, exposing everybody and risking that. You know, it's one thing to put yourself at risk. It's another to put your entire organization and your entire league at risk. So, yeah, good on the Indians for sending them down to Lake County yesterday and humbling them as they need to be. And maybe the Indians lose a couple more games. But in a year like this, they're doing the right thing.
We're going to have to take a break. Our number is 312-644-6767. He's Matt. I'm Bruce. We're here for you every Saturday between 9 and 11, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball and Inside the Clubhouse. Ryan Dempster will join us when we come back. Jerry Hairston Jr. of the Dodgers pre and post, former Cub, former Dodger, talk a little bit about the celebration of the 100-year anniversary of the Negro Leagues happening this Sunday around Major League Baseball. We'll get to that as well.
And we have an official postponement, by the way, between the Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates today. And still the singular word test, not tests, but singular test, is being referenced with the Cincinnati Reds. So hopefully there's some good news in that. We'll see. Ryan Dempster next, right here on The Score with Bruce Levine and me, Matt Spiegel, on Inside the Clubhouse.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Matt Spiegel and Bruce Levine here with you. Two seven-inning games. Total of 14 innings. Extras pending for the White Sox and the Cardinals coming up today. And Bruce, some roster moves for the White Sox this morning. Most notable of which on the negative side is the movement of Lurie Garcia to the 45-day injured list, with that thumb that he hurt on a head-first slide into first base earlier in the week. That is an unfortunate development for a very useful and flexible part of their roster, who's been really good offensively, too, has Lurie Garcia.
You're right, Matt. Again, this pretty much renders him out for the rest of the season. Okay,
wow.
So, I mean, 45 days from now is what? Okay, it's already the end of the regular season. So he's done for the year. Unless he's been out for, what, 5 or 6 days on the list. So it might allow him to come back 5 days, before the end of the year, but he's out. So this sprained left thumb has turned into something a lot more than just a simple sprain. And the depth of the team is being really pushed here. They purchased the contract of infielder Chesler Cuthbert from Schaumburg and brought up left-handed pitcher Bernardo Flores from Schaumburg because another injured pitcher, Ian Hamilton, with yet another sore shoulder. So this has been a theme in Chicago White Sox camp, sore shoulders. We already have three different other pitchers with the White Sox with sore shoulders. And then you have Bummer with a biceps injury that have them out. Two starting pitchers, Bummer, and then now you have Hamilton. This is pretty rough on the Chicago White Sox. I saw a statistic yesterday that is startling to me, Matt. In 2019, after the first 15 games of the year, 16 pitchers had gone on the DL at that time. Last year was turned into the IL. After 15 games, there were 28 pitchers on the IL in 2019. This year, after 15 games, 58 pitchers on the IL. 58, okay? So if you think the shortened summer camp has not impacted Major League Baseball, it has, and it continues to. It's not just one team. It's not just one league. It's all over the place where you're losing pitching. Out of Washington yesterday, it appears Strasburg is hurt and maybe having to be out for a while. Came out after two innings, not looking well. You have all kinds of pitchers on all kinds of teams out. And this is just, when you talk about competitive balance, that is something that is certainly an issue right now as far as all the injuries that are taking place only 3 weeks into the Major League Baseball season.
It's such a very specific science for each individual guy in terms of how they get themselves ready, how they know that they feel good. And this stop and start that we've had with the shutdown in March and then a restart for summer camp and then some of these teams having to be shut down, the Cardinals for 20 days, the Marlins for as long as they were, other teams just, following along with the detritus of the postponements. 3 or 4 days here. The Cubs called it their all-star break. Ian Happ called it All-Star Break 2020 when they had a 4-day shutdown, but they've come back seemingly okay so far with the arms, but it's just, it has wreaked havoc with pitchers. That's for sure. And it is, yeah, I mean, the White Sox have been hit harder than most. That's for sure. I mean, you're talking about a team, you mentioned Bummer and Jimmy Lambert, and of course the opt-out from Michael Kopech before that. And it, with all of the other injuries, you're looking at some very difficult Rodon.
Yep.
Ronaldo Lopez threw two innings of a simulated game yesterday in Schaumburg. As his slot will come back up again, that'll be Gio Gonzalez, who has not gotten out of the fifth inning, I don't believe, in any of his starts, although he's pitched well at times, but not gotten through the fifth. In terms of these guys who've just come up, Bruce, Bernardo Flores has only ever been a starter. 20 games for three different minor league affiliates last year, all starts. The year before that, 25 games, all starts. So he's called up today. It's interesting, with that second game slated to be a bullpen game. Last time we saw them go with Matt Foster and then Drew Anderson. I wonder if Bernardo Flores will just be handed the ball to give himself a chance to start. That's what he's done the last three seasons, as I look. Actually, the last four seasons. It's only ever been starts for Bernardo Flores.
Jim. Yeah, it makes sense, Matt. So we'll find out in just a short period of time as the White Sox begin their doubleheader against the Cardinals today, beginning at 12:10. That's a game that was moved up an hour. The Cubs game was moved up, 5 hours, or at least 4 hours, because of impending rain here this evening. So this is something they can, you know, it's an interesting aspect of it, the fact that there is an advantage to not having fans in stands, because you can change time variables in a game by 4 or 5 hours if you want to, with just agreement of the other team and MLB. In the past, you know, when you have fans in the stands, you can't tell them the day of the game or, you know, 10 hours before that the game has changed for 5 hours difference. It's just not something that's acceptable in Major League Baseball, you know, to do that to people that are paid money in advance coming from different parts of the state, different states to come in for a game and then change the time of it for 4 or 5 hours. So that's one of the very few good aspects of the fact that no fans and stands.
Absolutely true. And as we had mentioned, for those who might not have realized, it's supposed to be a night game for the Cubs, and now it's what, a 2:10 start because of a possible weather advisory for later on tonight. Sticking with the White Sox for a moment here, Ryan Goins has played second base and shortstop in his life, I assume, with Cuthbert up. Cuthbert's really a third baseman by trade. So Goins is your backup middle infielder at this point, Bruce?
Yeah, he has to be. You know, you're already down Madrigal, you know, and you're down Garcia. So now, you know, Goins is your backup at second base, or your starter if Anderson comes out of a game and you have to move Mendick over to shortstop, and that's your depth. I mean, White Sox are being pressed here with injuries. You know, they to their credit, they had some depth there, but that's all gone at this point. And when you talk about teams looking around for other teams that are not competing right now, you know, teams like the Boston Red Sox, who are pretty much going to be out of it. I mean, after this weekend series with the Yankees, you know, you can't predict wins every day. But for Boston, unfortunately for you, a former big Boston Red Sox fan, that's a really bad team with no pitching right now. And it's going to be a long time for them. So my point is, you might see some of the veterans on that team that are pretty much out of contract getting traded earlier than you think.
It's interesting. Yeah, the Red Sox at 6-14. My dad, a Red Sox fan since the 40s, really, since the 30s. And certainly the 40s, texted the other night and said, this is the worst team, the worst Red Sox team I've ever seen. No pitching, nobody can hit. I don't want to see the bullpen come in. He's hating it. And I said, well, at least, Dad, it's only another 45 days or so.
You always have this little sunshine on your shoulder. That's really great. I mean, You only have to suffer 45 more days, sir, until we get that electric chair. Until we get that, until we get that plug on that electric chair fixed, you know, you're okay. And it'll probably be 45 days, and you're all right. But you know,
go ahead.
No, go on.
It's just such a weird thing. We have a texter who wondered about Dane Dunning, Bruce, and Rickon has spoken before. I think they don't feel like Dane Dunning is ready to give them the kind of bulk in innings that they want. And they also have this policy of not letting an injury dictate advancement for their guys. They're really trying to look at it as specific markers that dovetail with what you've heard.
Yeah, I mean, and some of these guys that have come back have returned from injuries, you know, and have been hurt. Not the same injuries, so we're not saying there was any negligence with the White Sox. Not at all. They're very careful about handling all of their young players. But, you know, again, Dunning had the Tommy John surgery, missed the entire 2019 season. This is a guy that's highly thought of. And, you know, it depends. You know, we've heard Rickon say, sure, we're in for competing and winning this year, of course. But we have a bright future ahead of us that we're looking at also. And they feel that Dane Dunning is a part of this. So at how much do you throw at, and, you know, not talking pitching-wise, but what do you throw at as far as your resources into the 2020 season to try to win, Matt?
Yeah, well, this is, to me, it is an opportunity. It's a massive opportunity to get in and have it be a great, healthy thing for the kids and get some good TV ratings and a little bit of sponsorship money there, but in what is a bonus year. It's a bonus year. The year before, perhaps you thought your winning window was going to begin. But I don't know. I know that fans would love to see the White Sox manage and generally manage this season with the urgency of being a contender. But as the injuries pile up, I wonder what some of those thought processes will be. I understand the challenge.
Again, again, do you throw all your resources in young players that have coming off of Tommy John surgery a year ago, March, at this year? Or are you more in protective mode of some of them, considering all the injuries you've already had? I mean, you know, it hasn't been devastating to the White Sox because they do have some depth and they do have really good players and they are going to score some runs. But, you know, getting Rodon back seems to be questionable right now because he's just playing catch right now, not throwing off of a mound. So you're going to see a full month of rehab for Carlos Rodon to come back after being out for 2 or 3 weeks at the minimum from the shoulders injury. Lopez appears much closer, already having thrown a couple innings in a sim game and doing it again in a few more days. So, you know, brighter times ahead for them there. But again, you know, this injury factor and the way teams look at the 2020 season will certainly be tested here over the last 6 weeks of the season.
And we just got word that Dylan Carlson, a big-time prospect for the Cardinals, is coming up today. They announced that they've added him to the roster. He'll come up, and he'll be part of the mix. So yet another reason to tune into local Chicago baseball today to see Dylan Carlson, who I assume will play big-time guy for them. I wonder if they'll go with an opener of sorts or a right-handed reliever. Maybe it's Foster again in that second game today. Lucas Giolito pitches the first. Then you bring in the lefty Flores and flip things around a little bit for Ricky Renteria. It's certainly an option. Ross Detweiler's been real good for them, Bruce, but now he hasn't pitched in a while because of the cancellations and because of situations. Detweiler has thrown just one inning and 12 pitches since August 4th. For a guy that's been a find, I've been wondering if they would use him to start, or maybe they've got him into that sort of Aaron Bummer-esque role in their mind, but those opportunities just haven't materialized for him.
No, there have been some blowout games, and he's been important to them. As you point out, Matt, that Bummer role is so important right now, and they have eschewed so far the idea of using him as a starter because Bummer is not on the way back yet. So with that in mind, they feel the fortification that he gives them three times a week in that role would be more important than putting him in the starting role, in the fifth starter's role, where they're lacking a starting pitcher right now. But it is some tough times for the White Sox that, again, are probably looking around to try to make a deal if they can to pick up a starting pitcher. Not an easy task at this point in time. There's a couple of variables involved. One of them is who's ready to trade. Number two is how much resources do you have to trade in the way of players? And three, will ownership go along with you if the player that you're trading for is making any type of substantial money, knowing the revenue streams for all these clubs are really hurting right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, let's take a guy like Robbie Ray of the Arizona Diamondbacks, a free agent to be. There are three teams in front of the D-backs playing better in the West in terms of the standings. D-backs are 9-11, Dodgers, Rockies at 12-7, and the Padres ahead of them. That's a very savvy front office in Arizona. Do they say, we don't really have a shot to get this done, let's go ahead and get something for Robbie Ray, right? I don't know if they're ready to declare themselves out of it at this point.
Yeah, and it's a great point. There's a number of teams that can look at it that way. You know, again, you're not costing yourself anything at the gate this year as far as fan attention at the ballpark. So you can talk yourself into just about any area that you want to go with this year. But again, you owe it to the players, you owe it to the franchise after only 17 games or so to give it a good effort. I mean, Arizona was much worse a week ago, and now they're, you know, crawling back up there. Colorado is coming back to earth. The Dodgers are ascending to where they're supposed to be. They're obviously among the top two or three teams in the National League, and most people consider them still the best team in the National League when you look at them. So from that perspective, how far do you push it? That's a good question. But we'll start seeing that because the trading deadline, Matt, is only 2 weeks away. So 2 weeks from tomorrow,
Wow.
This is like playing a video game, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it is. Like, okay, I know. There's a lot of people. Every time a little bit of news breaks, whether it's a COVID test or whether it's, you know, weird stuff or a schedule replacement, there are certain tweets or texts that come in and say, this season is a joke. This is a sham. Just cancel this thing. Man, 2020 leaves you a lot of opportunity to lower your standards. Mine have successfully been lowered to the point that I am loving every minute of this crazy baseball season. I know there is not competitive integrity. There's not integrity in much in this year, frankly, Bruce.
You're right about that, Matt. Hey, we have to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk Cubs, White Sox, everything baseball, keep you updated on what's going on around the game. Stay on top of this situation in Cincinnati with this positive test and the cancellation of the Pirates-Reds game today at the Great American Ballpark.
A really cool, unique moment in last night's Cubs game on MLB Network, which would not happen if it was not for fanlessness and broadcasters not on site. We'll bring that to you at some point as well. It's Inside the Clubhouse. I'm Matt Spiegel. He's Bruce Levine right here on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hills from the stretch. Cubs lead 3-1. The pitch to Yelich. High drive, deep right center, trouble. This ball is all the way back to the wall, and it's a three-run homer for Christian Yelich. And just like that, Milwaukee takes a 4-3 lead.
I mean, I think obviously this one's frustrating. For as well as I thought I pitched tonight, I pitched really well for even five innings. I think the fifth inning, I made a lot of good pitches, a lot of ground balls that found holes. And then just, you know, one or two bad pitches in the sixth that hurt me bad. I think it's one of those nights, you know, made a mistake and Yelich made it hurt. And like you said, yeah, I mean, he did what he was supposed to do with it. Tip the cap.
Alec Mills was really good last night up until that sixth inning. He's been really good all year, has Alec Mills. And then a couple guys get on. Christian Yelich decides to swing at a changeup, and she gone 4-3, and that's the way it would finish. Bruce Levine, Yelich was 1-for-27 in July with 12 strikeouts. He's now 10-for-37 in August. That's better. But still 12 more strikeouts, including three last night. It's weird to see Yelich as striking out as much as he is, but he can still do that, what he did with one swing, and completely flip that game around.
Yeah, he was handled pretty well by Mills up until that point. But when you leave a meatball right in the middle of the plate, a changeup right by his eyes, I mean, it was just like putting it on a tee. And that was the game changer. It's a shame because Mills pitched extremely well, having to step in for the injured Tyler Chatwood, who was scratched very late toward the beginning of the game with back tightness. And he'll be reevaluated, and we'll hear more about that today, whether he's going to be available or the Cubs are going to have to go to another starting pitcher at this point. I think David Ross, after the game yesterday, talked about, you know, that he might have to be moved in maybe hopefully yep. by Monday, you know, when they have five games in 3 days against the Cardinals. So that's going to be very interesting. Hey, Matt, we got to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more Cubs, more White Sox, everything with you at 312-644-6767.
Yep, and we've got word Colin Ray is going to start today. He's been real good, the former starter in a bullpen role, and now Colin Ray going to start today for Tyler Chatwood. We'll discuss that more. And Craig Kimbrell pitched last night, and guess what? He pitched really well in a tight game. What does it mean? We discuss next. He's Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It is 670 The Score.
In his first Chicago radio interview regarding the firing of Jim Boylan and the new head coach search, Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Arturis Karnišovas, will talk exclusively to Chicago's sports morning show, Mully and Haw, Monday morning at 8:30, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls, a radio.com sports station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.